Welcome back to the Deadology Podcast from Pencil Hill Studio, New Paltz, New York. I'm your host, Howard Weiner. Today is December 5th, 2024, and on this episode, which is Season 2, Episode 41 of the Deadology Podcast, we're going to go back 43 years to Indianapolis, Market Square Arena, December 5th, 1981, to dig into another classic 81 show. Yeah, we've definitely been loving that year. A lot of great Garcia band shows as well. And hey, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Took last week off, went down to Florida, saw Crazy Fingers at the Funky Biscuit. They're a Dead cover band. They play there like every Tuesday. This is in Boca Raton, Florida. Awesome band. Was a lot of fun. Great 85-degree weather. And then I come back here to New Paltz, and every day, 20s, teens, just like crazy cold. Unseasonably cold for this early in December, but can't complain about that because folks a couple hours north and west in New York are getting buried by many feet of snow, so we actually got it pretty good here in New Paltz. And that's the weather report. And now let's get to the Grateful Dead weather report, part two, Let It Grow, because there's an awesome Let It Grow from this Market Square Arena show, which we're going to listen to and talk about. So Market Square Arena, the Grateful Dead played there three times. The first time was October 1st, 1976. And the end of that 76 years, some great shows. You could just tell they're getting primed. And 1977 is going to be a blockbuster year. But the end of 76, the band was so on fire. Great show at Market Square Arena. And then they had another hot show towards the end of the Keith and Donna Gottschall run, which ended on February 17, 79. They were in Market Square Arena on February 3rd of that year. Another awesome show. And this one here from December 5th, 81 is a classic. This is right in the middle of a Midwest swing. It was about a nine show tour. And I think this was like the fifth show. And right in the middle, the Grateful Dead did the best, probably the best show of that tour. Just so consistent, hot playing all the way through. They kick it to things with the Alabama Getaway, pretty standard opener for the time, but definitely something I think we all came to appreciate once they stopped playing it. They kind of eased off it later in the 80s and didn't play in the 90s until the last year, 95, they brought it back. So what seemed like it was a regular opener kind of disappeared. And great song. I like it at least as much, if not better, than Touch of Grey. They did release Alabama Getaway as a single in 1980. I think it got to number 68. Didn't get that far in the charts, but really a great song in the studio version. That's pretty cool. Well, anyway, in Indy on this night, they come out ripping. Hot Alabama Getaway into Promised Land. Another excellent version. Jerry's on fire, really shredding the Promised Land. I would have chose that song for an audio highlight, but any song from this show you could pull as like a highlight, because the playing was like that consistent. Nothing over the top, like, you know, best ever version, but everything was like, you know, if you're going on a five, it's like, you know, at least a four or better for every song this night. So the set list and the consistency are really a thing that make this show special. Third song, Friend of the Devil, ditto, just another great version. Jerry singing beautiful, great instrumental. The band's just totally locked in here. And now we get to the fourth song, which might seem like the one you might want to skip over the quickest if you were looking at the set list here, if you had to skip over songs, CC Rider. But this one is a one and only version right in the middle. They're doing CC Rider. They pick it up and do it double time. We're going to hear that audio highlight in a minute. But first, this was glorious times for CC Rider, Little Red Rooster, which they alternated on almost every night. I think every night in 1981, they might have missed one show here or there. But if you caught CC Rider and you're going to the next show, there was going to play a rooster in that slot, Little Red Rooster. And boy, did Jerry love playing these songs in 81 and 82. He just shredded them. Some of the best blues guitar playing you're ever going to hear. That's why I want to start this off by playing that Jerry solo from the Madison Show. Such inspired blues playing. And then we'll go to the Market Square. And this is historic. You on the Deadology podcast, you may never hear another CC Rider. And surely you will not hear two in the same podcast. But these were extraordinary times for CC Rider. Just check out Jerry going nuts on this one from Madison. At its utmost, Mr. Jerry Garcia tearing it up there on CC Rider. And two nights later at the show at Market Square Arena, they played Rooster the night before. Time for CC Rider again. And how do you follow up one of the hottest versions ever? Well, in the middle of CC Rider, the band just out of nowhere just does the song double time. This is like a completely one-off kind of version. Check it out.
CC Rider, what I see what you done there. Girl, now you made me love you, woman. Now you're made. See right in. See what you done down. See right in. Well now see what you done down. What it made me love you. Now your man is gone. Oh, I know it. Well now baby. Oh, I want you, want you, want you back to fall on your way. Well now baby. Oh, I want you back to fall. Yeah, won't be coming back at all. Uh-huh. see, see about it.
There you go, an experimental rendition of C.C. Rider, December 5th, 1981, Indianapolis. I guess after the Madison, which is Madison's show 2 days earlier, when they played C.C. Rider about as hot as you could play it, they said, hey man, we've reached the top of the mountain with C.C. Rider, we gotta try something else. So pretty cool experiment there, double timing CC timer, CC Rider right in the middle, and that almost had like the feel of like the Elvis Presley version. It was that up tempo, but yeah, kind of definitely cool if you're there to see them play, you know, experiment like that live, even though it might not hold up as well on audio listening back to it. But yeah, cool little experiment there. And then they follow that with Cumberland Blues. And now, well, all the way through kind of here, but the show really takes on the desirable tune set list that are just rolling here, breaking out all these cool tunes for Market Square Arena. Cumberland Blues, the Dead took a little break from it from about 74 to 81. They broke it out over the summer 81, and it became a semi-regular rotation in the years after. But when they first broke it out, it was the instrumentals weren't that long, but they were hot. This one in Market Square Arena, excellent version. El Paso, what could one say about El Paso? It's actually a great song every time they play it. A lot of nice noodling from Jerry in between. Bob gets in his cowboy song, great Marty Robbins number, man. We hear it so much, we take it for granted. And that was what I was thinking when I was listening to this and I heard the next song, Ramble on Rose. Something about this version, it's hypnotic, man. It's just a great version. I so appreciated it. And I was thinking, Ramble on Rose is right up there at the top of Hunter's best song lyrics ever. It's really incredible. You just hear the song and sing along with it so much. Sometimes it could go by you and you not even take it in. But like when I heard it the other morning, I heard this show a couple times. Just the Ramble on Rose really grabbed me. How good of a version and just how great of a song it is. So Ramble on Rose. I think that it's about song number 8 for the first set. They're gonna do a 10-song first set here. Always in 1981, 82, these years, they never disappointed. They always came out at a minimum, gave you 9 songs. A good night, 11 or 12, it was consistent. Always in that range. It was around 83 when they started maybe jamming out a little longer, but you started getting 6 or 7 song first sets. And obviously, given a choice, I'll take the 81 style, man. These are just a lot of great sets from this year. And the one on this night, very inspired. Next song, Passenger. And I've mentioned many times how much I love this song. This is a cool version. Jerry's really ripping at the beginning. Could have used another round or two. But kind of like the motif on this night, everything is smoking, but concise. At least, bit, not short, but they did the ample amount of jamming. They didn't go overboard on too many songs. And that set it up for Bird Song, ditto the same comments, great song, great singing. This is almost a flawless night. There's no experiment outside of the C.C. Rider. Everything is just right on the money. The singing, jamming couldn't be any hotter. The only thing you could ask is that it was a little longer, and you know, that may possibly, but yeah, just unusual how flawless the band was on this night. That's why this particular show would have made a great release back in the day. Like if the Grateful Dead was scratching their heads trying to find the show to release, they hadn't started any kind of release series back in those days. In fact, CDs started around 85 in that period, but if they were going to release an album, say, or you know, This might have been like you wouldn't have had to edit anything, or you know, the quality of the band's playing is just like a great example of how the band is smoking hot without getting lost or without experimenting, with the exception of that CC Rider. And then we got Birdsong, and the set closes out with once again the Birdsong's good. A nice 10-minute version, as we're going to get with the amazing set closer, Let It Grow. And I'm going to play like a nice bit of this Let It Grow. But this is the song, when I listened to the show, first time I heard it, it grabbed me. It was unbelievable. Something about this Let It Grow. It's 10 minutes, 41 seconds, not as long or as majestic as the one from Alpine Valley, August 7th, 82. But it's pretty damn good. And when I got the tape of this, I knew right away. And I remember at a show at Providence 85, I met a guy from Indianapolis. And me and my friend started talking to him. I was like, by the way, were you with that 81 show at the Sick Let It Grow? And he told me that they put on the house lights during the Let It Grow. And you could kind of, when you listen to this, you could almost imagine the lights being on and that kind of pushing the band to another level. But yet, you know, in an uncomfortable way, you know, so that they didn't play it extra long. This is, everything was like very quick here, but it's just a unbelievable piece of music. You know, it's going to blow your mind, so I'll let it talk for itself. Let It Grow. Last song of the first set, 12-5-81. Man, what a unique jam there from the Grateful Dead. And Jerry Garcia is playing House Lights On in Indianapolis Market Square Arena. And the thing about Jerry's playing on this and the whole show, but especially on that Let It Grow, it's so decisive. I mean, one of the things we love about Jerry is the meandering and finding his way here and there. But this version, which is great in its own way, it just, you know, there's not much indecision. He knows what he's just like so hot right from the beginning and so decisive on where he's going with the jam. And the band is just clicking right behind him. So, just like I said, the flawless nature, but yet still blazing hot. Sometimes when they play like that, like some of the Radio City shows, it's almost a little flat. This is, you know, just the Grateful Dead on fire, but in a weird way in control like they usually aren't. So awesome Let It Grow there ends the first set. Second set, we're going to get the same quality of songs and playing all the way through. Such so just a well-balanced show. Opens up with Shakedown Street. Just being in this crowd tonight, there's no way a Grateful Dead fan couldn't have been swept up by this show. It's really just everything you could want, except for the wild meandering jam, which they really don't pull out at this show. But there's no way anyone could have came out of Market Square Arena and anything less than enthused out of their minds. So Shakedown Street's the beats right on, the singing, and I'm listening to it. I'm thinking this sounds like it's going to be like an all-time great version. Maybe I missed this one when I was, you know, looking for all-time great versions, and Garcia comes out for the final, like on that final instrumental. Brent and Jerry trade a little bit. Garcia comes out smoking. There's just such energy building in this, but then it kind of plateaued. I did a Shakedown Street special a few episodes back where I talked about the best versions, Merriweather being amongst the best. Also, you had the New Year's Eve 81 Philly Spectrum, which were from this time period in Market Square Arena, and usually like a nice exclamation point to this jam, would make it a great version. But it kind of it hit a point. The band was like, hey, let's just get back to the chorus, work our way back with a little, chord shuffle thing. So almost, man, but still, nonetheless, like everything on this night, very pleasing. Cool Shakedown. Then they go into Sailor. And at this point, this almost had become a combination like Scarlet Fire or Estimated Eyes, Shakedown, Sailor Saint. Sailor Saint tended to follow it a lot. 81, I think, I say a lot. I'm not sure the exact number, but definitely the Shakedown, Sailor Saint was a thing. And the Sailor Saint here is just, they play this version. Jerry's there all the way. This is the one combination on this night. I think if any of these songs where they really took their time was during the Sailor Saint, just, you know, another top-notch version. Band totally engaged in it. They were playing this combo so well. I'm not sure what happened in 82, 83, but it started to slide away from them a little bit, and they didn't play it for quite a while after that, but this is like the height of just playing Sailor Saint, and great version here. Once again, well balanced. The Sailor's got everything you want, Saint. Once again, like most of the songs from this show, hard to call it one of the greatest versions ever because they didn't really go overboard. But really like the Sailor Saint. If I was rating Sailor Saints, this would probably be in that top 10 of that category. So awesome version. And then they came in with something you usually will not hear after this, Big Railroad Blues in the fourth spot. Just a perfect Jerry pick-me-up right there. Once again, just being out in the audience at this, man, this is one of those shows where everything's just coming together. And the only thing is you wonder to yourself, when you're at a show like this, how's it going to sound on tape? You know, you want to hear it on tape just to confirm that it was as good as you experienced it. This show obviously holds up on tape. I keep that tape as if we're in the 1980s, which I think everybody knows what I mean. But Those Maxell cassette tapes, still miss them. Big Railroad Blues, Smoke Inversion. Once again, just the flow of the songs at the show. Brilliant. Then they go for Playing in the Band for the fifth song before drums. Once again, inspired playing. You know, the playings weren't that long at this time. To most people, it would seem long. It's probably about 10 minutes of playing in the band. But, you know, just once again, very, very hot on this version of playing that goes into drums, space. They keep things turning with the wheel. Real good version. The playing reprise, they go back into the playing. It wasn't one of those nights where they forgot about it. Great reprise. I almost played that as an audio highlight. You know, very good reprise of playing. Such intense, kind of perfect playing on this night. And then they break into Stella Blue. And once again, just to hear Jerry's voice in 1981 on a Stella Blue. And this is definitely a great version. From 79 to 1982 is kind of like the hot pocket of Stella Blues, where Jerry would just rip the outro, but not every show. It would come up once every three shows where he would go nuts on it, and most of the rest of them are satisfactory. This is a top shelf one from Indianapolis, but one of the best ones ever is from Boulder, Four Nights Later, December 9th, 81, and I'm going to play that outro as the theme, the last song here for the podcast. Instead of doing like a closing song, but for the last bit, or having like an outro theme, I've decided to take some kind of hot jam and play it. Man, why waste the time with just a typical weekly outro when I could be playing another hot jam for you? So hang until the end. This Boulder jam on the Stella. You got to hang in to hear this. That's going to be the outro of the podcast. But this one is no slouch, so let's get to it, man. This is from Indy, and after this solo, they break into Sugar Mag, but Hot 81, Stella Blue.
Stella Blue. Stella Blue.
Hey, even as I was listening to that right now, the playback right now, Awesome Stella kind of caught me off guard. Yes, I knew the show. Like I said, it was a favorite tape of mine when I first started collecting back in the day. But if going through this, if one song kind of surprised me that I didn't know about, that Stella Blue, man. Great guitar solo from Jerry, and they jump right into Sugar Mag. A rockin' Sugar Mag, man. Just the... what would be worthy of playing for an audio highlight is almost any song you could pick from this concert. So they get the jam and the Sugar Mag is hot, and they even get a nice Jerry gets some nice ripping in during the Sunshine Daydream, and then it's a one more Saturday night encore. But once again, just to look at the show as a whole, but just you very rarely get a balanced and flawless show like this. Desirable songs. Great set lists, kind of enough surprises to keep you upbeat. But just being at the show, people must have been like praying, you know, renouncing their religions, and you know, I'm going to tour with the Grateful Dead, kind of thing. Which I think I did at Philly Spectrum, April 6th, '82, when I saw like the first really profound show when I was really into the band. And I think that was my fourth show, and you know, you just feel like you've discovered religion or something. It's like that cool of an experience. This show has that power. I think it's the best show of a very cool tour. But getting back to Stella Blue, when it was played like it is here, or like the bolder version I'm going to play in a little bit, is probably the closest thing to Morning Dew in power. Now, obviously, the lyrics are great. You know, something that could definitely hook you. Trey from Fish was, you know, loved Stella Blue. This is kind of what hooked him into the Grateful Dead when he saw it for the first time in Hartford. So another one of Hunter's all-time great lyrics. But as the years went on, and as in the 80s, very short outros on a lot of them. So all of the effort was kind of put into the song, and you didn't get these long, great outros. So 1981, this era was some of the best Stellas where it could almost feel like a Morning Dew. I mentioned a couple of versions for you. St. Paul, 78. Man, that's a great one. From July, I think I might confuse the dates on that particular tour. I know it's July 78, so you could look for that. St. Paul's 78. I think it's July 3rd, if I'm recalling correctly. And then there's one from the Winterland, October 21st, 78. You know, another incredible outro. There's a couple from 80, 10680 Rainbow Theater, London. Obviously, this one and the one which you're going to hear right now from Boulder. this one makes me laugh. It's like Garcia goes off and it's like a great version. And almost the band hits a point where they're deciding what to go into next. And Garcia's now, we're not going anywhere. We're going to stay with Stella. And he comes back with like playing these just a crazy riffs until they do jump into Around and Around, which was a common follow up to Stella Blue. But the Around and Around, Good Love, and they played here on this night, just superb, man. Weir's falsetto singing. Probably the best falsetto singing, most enjoyable that he ever did. And his raps were right on, and the band was just ripping. Rare that I would speak out like that enthusiastically about it, Round and Round, Good Lovin' to end the show. But this one from 12-9 Boulder is killer. And as I said, we're going to close out with that jam. So everybody enjoy that. I'm your host, Howard Weiner. Thanks for listening. This was episode 41, season 2 of the podcast. My website, it's hangledupintunes.com. See you next week. Peace out. And be careful if you're driving while listening to the Stella Blue, Boulder, Colorado. Stella Blue.